Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11 with overtime. We have Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us as well today. Honestly, usually roster cut down day, for the most part, and maybe this is just a product of me paying attention over the last couple of years and really getting the feeling of, well, makes a ton of sense, right? Like, Browns are supposed to be good. I know that wasn't the case last year, but you went into the season feeling like you were supposed to be good. Yeah, I kind of know where they're headed in most of these directions. Like, I can sit there and look at the roster, and it's like, okay, we're debating between a guy that'll make the practice squad and a guy that's going to be on the team, and really probably won't see the field all that much anyway, so it won't matter. This is one of those days where, all right, 53-man's, the initial cutdowns happen. And yes, I am surprised, right? You are at least initially shocked coming off of it. Obviously, Deontay Johnson does not make the roster. That was, I guess, semi-surprising in a way, like very slightly surprising. Going through it, obviously, Kenny being traded added to that we talked about a lot last night. But the most concerning part of what happened today, and probably the most confusing, was what happened in the running back room. There's clearly something afoot of what the Browns actually plan on doing, because right now, after initial cutdowns, the Browns are currently rostering two running backs. You have Jerome Ford and you have Dylan Sampson, and that's it. Now, I'm sure at some point, like, you're probably going to add Amani Marshall back to the practice squad, assuming that he clears waivers. I'm going to take a wild swing and say that's probably almost a given at this point. But releasing, or, you know, injury designation attached to it, but waiving Pierre Strong, I felt like that was a guy that you could almost count on to be in that room, even if they were going to add somebody else. I thought there was a decent shot that you saw the cut coming probably from the running back room, and they were going to do a 5-3 rather than a 6-2. But all this leaves is a question of what the Browns are actually planning to do at running back. I can't walk away from today without at least a little bit of concern. Yes, are they leaving that spot open for, you know, Quinshon Judkins, and maybe that signing's right around the corner? They're just waiting on the NFL to finish up. That's a complete and honest potential. It can be there. I don't think that's just a given, clear-cut opportunity. Like, you can just book it. That's going to happen. I think you have a legitimate chance that this is roster spot left open for, you know, the other guys whose names have been tossed around, like Audric Estime. Just somebody else to add into the room to fill that spot until you figure out what's happening with Quinshon. But clearly the determining factor of the Browns being left with all of the questions in the running back room is what on earth is happening with Quinshon Judkins. I tweeted out earlier today on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. But I tweeted something out today of like, can we get an update? Like, it would be really timely right about now if they can tell me what's happening with Quinshon Judkins. Yeah, I understand the timing of this could basically have played out any worse in terms of getting him onto the field and actually seeing him. But it feels like if you're the Browns at some point, you basically got to pony up, or, I mean, in one way or another, right? Either pony up and sign the dude and just be ready for whatever comes after it. Or, I mean, call it what it is, go get another running back. And yeah, it's tough to sit there and say I wasted a second round pick, but I'm looking for answers at this point. I'm looking for something. And when I walk into my initial cutdown day with two running backs, I'm not exactly, you know, flattered by the opportunity that I'm being presented. I am not happy with the way that the running back room has played out. Like, I thought Amani Marshall looked good. I thought there was a chance, a slight chance at least, that he would have made this team and they would have put him on the initial roster, if for nothing else, to be like, at least we have a body there right now. But again, you're clearly waiting for something else. We're just waiting on that news to actually pop up. But Quinshon or not, the running back room is a major concern. He has not taken the field this year. He is not prepared to just step into the offense and be ready. This entire time we've been watching, you know, the running backs try to get ready and them go through their ups and downs. Quinshon has not been a part of that. He's not going to be able to walk in tomorrow, if that were to be the case, and just step in and be like, all right, I'll be ready by week one to play the Bengals. I would doubt that, again, that Quinshon's ready to take on an opportunity like that, even if it was presented to him. So you're legitimately probably walking into week one with Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford, two running backs who aren't very large. They are not North Hill or North South running backs that can run downhill. They are not those type of guys. You have outside runners, explosive runners, and that is it. In a game that is so heavily based on how well can you run the ball, right? And we've talked to we talked to Lance on Friday. Lance Risen of Cleveland.com. And I asked him about it in the running back room and whether or not it was a legitimate concern at this point. He was like, listen, it's a lot more on the offensive line. And I think that a big part of this run game does rely on what can the offensive line do for me? Right? Like, are you able to take this unit and just open holes and make sure that guys are getting 4 to 5 yards of carry? I'd love to just say yes, but I don't think you can just stick any running back behind them and just act like everything's going to be okay either. I don't think that the run game's going to be that dominant that it does not matter who you put in the backfield. I watched these running backs during the preseason. They showed moments of being pretty good. They showed moments of being okay, especially a guy like Dylan Sampson, who I thought struggled, did not do a ton to impress in the preseason. But okay, the holes are supposed to be there, even on a, you know, first team offense, first team look going up against the Rams. Holes are supposed to be there. Don't think the run game looked all that dominant during that stretch. Don't think there were a ton of wide open holes to run through and you weren't playing first team defenses. If you're telling me I'm running Kevin Stefanski's offense and I'm just supposed to expect that everything bases off the run game, I'm sorry, but yes, I'm going to be concerned when the run game does not exist. When I don't have guys that I'm confident in to run the football, I think that you're looking at a very dangerous path to starting off the season in terms of how the offense is going to get moving. And we've seen Joe have to air out the ball. There's a chance that that still works. But you take away the run game, especially past week one, you don't have a lot. Right? Like, you're not just going to be able to make it work against the Ravens with no run game available to you. So I understand in some degree what the plan is from the Browns, that there is help on the way, whether in the form of Quinshon Judkins or another running back or potentially both. I know that that plan's there, yet I'm still confused what your path to actually getting this run game ready for the season is. And right now, we've talked so much on quarterbacks, as we should, because you just don't have an answer there right now. It's Joe, but all of these guys are jockeying for position and battling up until basically Kenny was traded yesterday. We've talked so much about the quarterbacks, and they're going to have a major impact in this offense. The run game at some point, though, does become the focal point. Like, I can worry about the quarterbacks so much. You put Patrick Mahomes back there, it's going to look a hell of a lot better than it will this year, but without a run game, you still don't have everything. Your offense is still not going to be firing on all cylinders. And especially in this offense, that is sort of your one-way ticket to stalling out and looking like the 32nd best-ranked offense in the NFL like you did last year. Take away the number one thing that this offense is supposed to be able to do and watch how it crumbles from the inside out. I can't just hand it into the 40-year-old's hands and say, all right, throw the ball 45 times a game and expect it to work. I need something at running back, and it should be, hopefully, Quinshon Judkins. I don't know what you're sitting and waiting on at this point. He has not been assigned to a contract. We are coming up on the start of the season. I mean, we are dangerously close to week one against the Bengals without having a running back not named Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson. I just don't know what you're supposed to do. But if you're the Browns, I'm pretty much done sitting on my hands. The NFL has sat here and conducted their investigation for weeks on weeks and months on months, and I have gotten no answer. I drafted a guy in the second round. Charges were dropped. Are you going to hand him a suspension? Potentially. But I know very well that I'm not going to just sign a guy who is then not going to be available because he's spending time, you know, in the clink. I don't have to worry about that. So if the NFL is going to hand a suspension, so be it. Is a, you know, 4 to 6 game suspension going to stop you from signing Quinshon Judkins at this point? I would think not. So I'm confused on what the hesitation is on that side of things. Are you just letting the NFL, you know, conduct their investigation and play it out? Okay, well, I don't really need to figure out what the NFL thinks happened in the situation. They're going to make their decision regardless. Suspension or not, they're going to make their decision. I need answers at running back. Even if they're not there for the first 6 games of the season, I need the answer at running back. I need to know what I do and what I don't have. And right now it's a lot of what I don't have and not a whole lot of what I do have. Again, you would feel like this information going down to 2 running backs would spell something for Quinshon. I just don't know that it does. I don't think that this is a clear indication that something is happening and he's right around the corner of being signed. I think it's very possible that that's just, let's leave some room for the guy that we already know we're going to add. Through waivers or just through free agency, something, but we know we're adding a guy. Let's just make sure we leave the spot open for him, essentially. It feels like that could be more the case than just add Quinshon Judkins and everything's getting resolved. 216-474-0092. Initial 53 set for the Browns. Are they in search for an answer at running back right now, or are they in search for a stopgap? Because the biggest thing surrounding that's what the hell is happening with Quinshon, which it feels like none of us knows. Again, 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake, swing into our social media reactions, powered by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We got the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk to our very own Daryl Ryder, as we do at 8 o'clock every Tuesday. We're going to talk to Daryl about the rosters, the decisions the Browns made, and where they're headed as they look to shape this roster, getting ready for Week 1 against the Bengals. Get a Grip comes your way at 9, as it always does. We're going to react to the Guardians. It's a Blind Tier Tuesday. And, of course, Michael is going to join us here at 10:20 for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are the Browns in search for an answer at running back, or are they just looking for a stopgap? Because I'm still trying to look around the corner and see what happens with Quinshon. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk a little bit of Deontay Johnson. And your calls all coming in about 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys until 11 on The Fan. Right? One, and then the rookie that you signed. Yeah, two guys. It's Jerome Ford and Stone Sampson. I'm not walking in there with a guy that I trust. And by the way, like, I don't have a problem with Jerome and Dylan. Like, I like Dylan when he was drafted. I thought Jerome did a fine job filling in here. There's not necessarily a knock to those two guys. But if you tell me either one is a guy that you trust to just be there and handle the entire workload, you'd be insane. I also just know how Kevin Stefanski runs his running backs. It's a running back by committee. It has been a running back by committee since the day that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were here. And since the day that Kevin Stefanski walked into the building, it has been full-on running back by committee, and they have not wavered. But I can't look at this room. Like, it's, again, to no surprise that if it's running back by committee, it's not Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson, and hopefully one doesn't get hurt. So you're going to be searching the market for somebody, I am sure. There were already reports earlier on last week that the Browns were in the search for a running back. Right? They were calling up teams, talking and, you know, feeling out what guys were available, if they could make a trade. And I'm sure they're scouring the waiver wire right now saying, do I need to add somebody? Can I wait until waivers clear? Hey, what do they need to do? Something is going to be here, and I need to know what the actual solution is going to be for them. Because if you're just trying to find a stopgap, it tells me that, yeah, I'm waiting on Quinshon to either sign before the season, or I'm waiting for the NFL to finish their investigation, and we're going to let that play out in whatever way that it's going to take, but I'm just finding a guy to fill his shoes until that he's activated and then ready to go. But I do have to look around and then find it, like, if I'm not getting Quinshon back, which is a legitimate possibility, right? Baskin and Phelps today talked to, or yesterday talked to Mike Florio, and he talked about the potential that Quinshon actually goes back and plays a college again and just doesn't go to the NFL this year, bypasses it, and then reenters the draft next year. Again, I'm trying to find where you're actually getting to the answer. Like, I just need something in terms of running backs, whether I'm getting Quinshon back and I can actually rely on the guy that I drafted in the second round that everybody in this city was excited to see after he played at Ohio State and played well at Ohio State and was supposed to essentially be the answer for you at running back. Again, they're going to run a running back by committee, but I was supposed to get some kind of answer at running back this year. I'm now sitting here trying to figure out if I'm trying to replace Quinshon for the season, if I'm trying to find the replacement until I can go back next year and draft somebody that I can be confident in. Oh, maybe it's Quinshon again, but I would highly doubt it. But am I doing that, or am I just waiting and sitting around until Quinshon is ready? Is all the Browns will give you is basically no update on the situation. They're waiting for the NFL investigation to pan out, and they have not made a move since. Again, the question kind of becomes why. Like, it doesn't take an entire army to figure out the investigation through the NFL side is going to end probably in a 4-game suspension or a 6-game suspension. There's a good chance that he's going to be missing time. The only difference is, what does it matter to you whether or not it's Quinshon sitting on your roster while he's suspended and you had already signed him and the suspension comes, or you wait for the suspension to happen and then you're still going to have to sign him probably for the suspension to be activated. He's not signed to a roster. The 4 games isn't going to make a difference. Like, I'm sure they're not just going to let him serve those out, not under contract. So I still sit here and I wait to try to find out what the Browns are waiting on when it comes to a running back. Again, like, we know they're going to add somebody, but I don't know where it's...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's going to be. CK chiming in on X. He said, relax, they'll bring in a third back. They just wrapped up cuts today. Kevin said they're going to add more than 2 running backs on the roster before game 1. Don't over-dramatize the situation. Ford had been in the league for 3 years. Yes, he can be the top dog for a while. I did not see anything out of Jerome Ford. I saw improvement out of Jerome Ford. I have not seen anything that goes, yeah, they'll be fine. They're going to be just all right if they walk in there being a run-first team, getting back to the way that they used to play football, and Jerome Ford's the main guy in the room. Nothing about that situation screams to me, this is over-dramatized and they're going to be all right. Again, so much of the success this year bases itself on, can you use the run to set up the pass game? They're going back to the Stefanski offense, which legitimately relies on the run game to just be good. Everything bases itself off the run. Everywhere, and I say everywhere, it's 2 places, that Kevin has been in the NFL, he's relied on the run in years where he's actually had success. 2023 is sort of the oddball here of they didn't have that great of a run game because Nick Chubb was hurt and they still managed to get into the playoffs. But every year that Kevin's had success, it's based itself off of, well, he's had guys like Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook, and then he had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. and they used the run game to set up the pass, and the run was the main feature of the offense, and that's where they won games. They used a good defense backed up by a good run game to win every single game, basically, that they put themselves in. Again, aside from 2023, so I can't just sit here and act like it's not a big deal that they trusted two running backs on their roster and are now out searching, and I have no answer on Quinshon Judkins, period. Just at all. I need something there for the run game. But obviously, cuts happening elsewhere on the team as well. Wasn't just at running back. Wide receivers saw an interesting move in which the Browns did elect to keep six wide receivers and yet still walked away from Deontay Johnson. Deontay still managed, even while they were keeping six, to not make the roster. And by the way, what seemed a lot less like, at least from an outside perspective, from everything that we saw, it's like it wasn't like Deontay wasn't showing up. He was running routes. He didn't pull a, I'm going to basically do the exact same thing I did when I was with, I think it was the Ravens that ended up cutting him because he's like, it's cold. You haven't played me all game. And now I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this thing. I mean, he didn't show up to the mandatory or the voluntary camps that were available to him, the team meetings and everything that happened before training camp. Yeah, they still took him out of the field. He looked solid for a little bit, the early part of camp especially. And then it turns around to he didn't look good against the Eagles, didn't look good in joint practices that week is everything that we've heard. But the Browns went through and made the decision to not only keep Gage Larvidan, who nobody would have expected to make this roster by day one, and they also decided to keep punt returner and return specialist and DeAndre Carter over him as well. Like, I do have to at some point also look around this room and go, I know the baggage that comes with Deontay Johnson, and I don't know exactly what's happening behind the scenes when it comes to that, but you can't argue that he'd be one of the most talented guys in the room. You don't just look around at this team and go, oh yeah, Pro Bowler, doesn't mean much. Guy with 1,000-yard seasons, we have a couple of those, right? No, you have one of those, and he did it last year, and that was the only time that he's done it. It's Jerry Jeudy and Sed, who I think fans have a relatively strong feeling for that they're going to be pretty good this year. Behind them is not much. It's Isaiah Bond, who got here a week ago, and then pushing forward, you're basically looking at, well, I have Jamari Thrash, and I have a punt returner, and I have Gage Larvidan, who's also kind of a returner, but it looked good during that, but he's not going to get a ton of run this year. Like, I do have to look around and think that Deontay Johnson would have at least helped from a talent perspective on this team, an offense that is desperate of talent, right? And they're deprived of any sort of it. I do have to think that a guy like Deontay Johnson would have helped you there, at least on the field. Wasn't a well-liked, was not a great locker room presence in Carolina while they're sitting there losing games, was also their leading receiver last year before he got moved on from. So, again, like I look around and I still have questions about what this team does on cutdown day. The guys that they decide to walk away from, yes, you were the only team that gave Deontay Johnson a call because, well, I think he didn't put himself in a great situation through what he displayed last year. If he was going to make a roster, the roster he was going to make was right here in Cleveland. Yeah, I don't see another team just sprinting to pick up Deontay. Hey, maybe they do. Maybe somebody else feels like they need the wide receiver help, and hell, he's a good enough wide receiver that you give it. Yeah, I am looking around like, I like Gage a lot. Would Gage not have been served on the practice squad, and could you not have kept him there? Maybe somebody would have picked him up, but is Deontay Johnson not going to help this team more in the immediate, more in trying to win in 2025? I don't know. I would think by the way that he's played on the field that he had a better chance at that than Gage giving you legitimate production. Yeah, I don't know that that's not when you walk away from being like, oh, well, only if we had more talent in the wide receiver room when we actually get down to playing a couple of games and you get a few weeks into the season. It's one that I think Browns fans are going to shrug off because of the character issues aside to it. But when you probably get into weeks 5, 6, and a little bit later on in the year, it's going to be like, man, only if we had another wide receiver that could produce in the offense, and everybody's going to be looking and going, well, that probably could have been Deontay Johnson. Again, 216-474-0092. I do have to ask whether or not you feel like cutting Deontay Johnson was a mistake. Because, again, I just don't feel like the talent in this room is that great. You probably could have done something. But let's get out of the phones. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing well. You know, this kind of is a continuation of our call from the other day. I complained about the Browns, you know, walking away from Nick Chubb. And now you see, you know, you mentioned we've got two guys basically in the running back room. I mean, to me, it's actually disgusting. We're here in the AFC North. This, you know, the Browns have only been successful when we've had good running backs. You know, I mean, I just don't see what they're doing here. You know, they cut the kicker. You know, only the Browns would cut a kicker after, you know, he showed, you know, some glimmer of hope. You know, it's like usually kickers last 10 years on these teams, like Justin Tucker with the Ravens or, you know, the guy on the Bengals. You know, there's usually longevity with kickers, but not the Browns. They've got a, you know, they're smarter than everybody else. You know, they're going to find this brand new kicker from Syracuse that's going to just change the world. But I mean, there's just so many curious things here that, you know, like I thought they should have signed Amari Cooper months ago because he's a competent receiver. He had a lot of success with Joe Flacco, of course. You know, they ignore Amari Cooper. He signs with the Raiders. You know, I actually thought they should have kept Kenny Pickett. They almost had nothing to lose with the guy. Maybe he could have been, you know, this year's version of Sam Darnold, but we'll never find out. He'll probably do well with the Raiders. He probably will. You know, this is just the luck of the Browns. Nick Chubb, he's averaging 5 yards a carry in preseason. He'll probably do very well this year with the Houston Texans. It's just on and on. You know, the Browns didn't draft Jack Sawyer. The Steelers gladly picked him. He's going to do well for the Steelers. You know, it's almost like Baker Mayfield. He's going to do really well with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can just go almost every team and see success stories on other teams, and then the Browns are going to be 3-14 again. But I'm just, like, really upset with the Browns front office. They think they're smarter than everybody, and, you know, I'm not looking forward to the Dillon Gabriel era at all, and that's going to happen sooner than later here. You know, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and BP, like, I mean, I'll address it all here, and I appreciate the call. I can't get that upset over Dillon Gabriel right now. I mean, we'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show, and we're going to talk to him with Daryl coming up at 8 here. But, I mean, I always get that feeling, obviously, and I think a lot of people do, that the Browns feel like they're the smartest team in the room, right? The smartest person at all times in every room that they walk into. A lot of these, like, I can't be upset about Amari Cooper. I think that they have a strict philosophy. Receiver turns 30. He's basically not useful to you anymore. And for the most part, they were right last year on Amari Cooper. I mean, we'll see what he has, but Amari did not flash anything last year between the few games that he played with the Browns and then moving over to the Bills. He was not impressed. Nick Chubb, I'm going to wait to see what happens with Nick because we didn't see anything out of Nick last year, and we have one game against the mostly Lions backups in which he had 5 carries for 25 yards. Yeah, I'm not just going to crown Nick Chubb to be great this year with Houston. I'm rooting for Nick. I'm hoping that he does the best. But, I mean, I think you bring up fair points and things to be upset about. Looking around, the Browns make curious decisions. Like, most teams walk into this, and the guys that they cut are guys that you look around the league and you go, yep, never heard of that guy, haven't heard of him. Oh, that was a rookie from 2023 who didn't pan out. You don't see a ton of the big names typically, or even like medium-sized names that it does feel like the Browns are walking away from. Going with two running backs, looking for somebody else. When, yes, they could have held on to Nick. Yes, they could have also figured out something with Quinshon by now. I mean, you look around and it's like, okay, how often do the likes of Deontay Johnson get cut in a preseason? Dustin Hopkins, a guy that you already extended, who you trusted after 1 year of kicking the football to hand a contract to, and then you're like, we're going to go to the kid over in Syracuse. A lot of questions. I don't know that I can be that mad over Dustin Hopkins after last year. Don't know that I can get that upset over Deontay Johnson at this point, but I was definitely scratching my head a couple of times over the last day or two over some of the moves that the Browns made. It's like, you're telling me you want to be competitive. You also take most of the veterans on your roster and toss them to the side and make room for the young guys. That doesn't scream competitive to me either. Again, 216-474-0092. We'll get to more of your guys' calls. Was cutting Deontay Johnson a mistake for the Browns? As well, the Station Buzz coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jack chiming in saying, I don't think the Browns' trajectory, whether good or bad, was going to hinge on Deontay Johnson. Got a lot of young guys we need to see, and even with them, I think Johnson would have been fifth or sixth offensive option regardless. Listen, I'm not saying that Deontay Johnson was going to be the massive impact. Like, your top two wide receivers are probably set. Like, I think that they feel comfortable with said. I think that they feel obviously more than comfortable with Jerry Jeudy, and then you have the two tight ends in the mix. Deontay Johnson was not going to be out there on 70% of snaps by any means. We've also seen this team run into injury after injury, and it's like, okay, one guy goes down. Isaiah Bond will be out there in the mix. I'm sure he'd get some run depending on how good he looks, which is still a coin flip. We don't know. And then it's Jamari / Diontae Johnson. I like Jamari. I don't think Jamari's a bad player. I also think that talent-wise, you can't deny the fact that Diontae Johnson, sitting at his current age still, is a better wide receiver probably in pure talent than Jamari Thrash is. And again, that's just not crazy. Like, Diontae's gone for over 1,000 yards in his career in a season. He's made a Pro Bowl. He's not 35 years old. Jamari Thrash is a fifth-round pick who barely saw the field last year. I still think that there is room for Diontae to make an impact, especially if you run into injury or something else. Again, 216-474-0092. We're going to get to the station buzz in just a minute, but let's get Dave in Cleveland wanted to talk about the situation on the initial 53 for the Browns. What's going on, Dave?
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Cole, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. What do you got?
Good. Real quick, I mean, I've been home for 2.5 hours. I hope I can get heard this time, you know.
I mean, listen, Dave, I've been on for 45 minutes, so I got you okay, in here as fast as I could, okay?
Well, that's good, but, you know, you guys all stick together, I know, but that's okay. I just want to be heard. You know, you get paid for your opinion. Can a fan give his opinion and be heard? That's all I want,
I'm sitting
sir.
Here taking calls, okay. Dave. I'm going for it. I got you right here.
Okay. They had to cut Hopkins. Hopkins exposed the Browns' brain trust. Like, the brain trust after studying players or situations, they dropped the ball. For example, Hopkins, a new rule came out with kicking off. It didn't play. Hopkins had a chance to study. You know what Hopkins do when he kicked the ball off the first, I think it was this week or last week?
I mean, he pulled in the back of the end zone and gave him the 35-yard line. That was his most recent week.
Yes. What is wrong with you, man? Get out of here. You know, you're cut. Now, Stefanski, he sounds like a politician and a con man, not a head coach. What do you believe out of his mouth? You know, Trubisky is the same man that quit on his team last year. He dropped the offensive play calling. And then after that, what did he do after that? He just stood on the sideline with his hands crossed. That was it. We had the head coach in our yard. Guess what he went to? The Patriots. We didn't want him. Why do people believe what quarterback has Trubisky built up and made into a Pro Bowler or anything? Not one. Why do we believe in Barry Stefanski? And I hate to say it, even the owner. They got to go. They're doing nothing here. Nothing. One more thing before I go.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Somebody said something before you came on to work. They said, Flacco, Gabriel, they're comfortable if Flacco goes down. What kind of comment is that? You comfortable with this rookie coming in, and everybody knows in the preseason, defenses and offenses don't show nothing. They're vanilla. Gabriel's not ready. Same thing as Sanders. He's not ready. But one of your partners said they're comfortable with it. I hang up and one last thing. You guys see how long people been on the phone, and I don't like how you discriminate who you take. You see I was on the phone for 2.5 hours. Take the man.
I've been on for 45 minutes. I got to this in the beginning. I appreciate the call. I went on at 7 o'clock. I don't know what Dave wants. I just gave him 2 minutes to just speak his mind. I don't control who Nick and JP take on the phones.
He was not on hold at the start of the show.
No, he was not. He called. He was at 15 minutes, right around there when I took his call. I looked up. I can see the timer on there. It's not in 2.5 hours. And it did not sit there for 2.5. Not during my show. I don't control who takes calls on the other shows. Also, I do feel kind of comfortable with Gabriel, honestly, if Flacco goes down. I mean, I don't feel like, hey, he's going to run up the world. But clearly the Browns feel comfortable with Dylan Gabriel. Also, I just think DeAndre Hopkins wasn't very good. The kickoff thing. One, I think that does play into it a little bit. I don't think he's completely off bases when he talks kickoff, because if I'm not mistaken, I think DeAndre Hopkins, one of the first games last year, was the kicker could not cross the 50-yard line before the returner had actually grabbed the ball, and that was the first thing that DeAndre Hopkins did, and it negated a very good play for the Browns very early on in the season. And this year, yes, kicked it right out of the back of the end zone. I know the broadcast described, smacked himself over the top of the head when he kicked it out of the back of the end zone. It's that's part of it. That's the thing, you just couldn't make a kick.
Just want to point out that you called Dustin Hopkins DeAndre.
Well, I wish he was DeAndre Hopkins. Hey, I probably would have been happier.
It was entertaining to me. I like that.
That's good. But Dustin Hopkins, either way. I mean, he's about as useful to the Cleveland Browns as DeAndre Hopkins is right now. And not at all. Actually, probably going to hurt you in some way, some of or. We'll see. I think the extra missed points probably were probably a little bit more cost-worthy than him kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone in a preseason game that cost him the 35-yard line. Probably the fact that he couldn't put the ball through the uprights. All right, without further ado, fell down to it long enough. Let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off, and we'll go to Nick and JP, reportedly leaving Dave on hold for 2.5 hours. But we're not talking about Dave here. We are talking about John Fanto, Fox Sports, who jumped on and joined them in their show to talk Browns and talked about the initial 53 and the questions on the running backs that he had.
When I look at this roster, what is up with the backfield? To me, it's obviously they're bringing in another running back, but when you see that, and the Judkins thing, that is an elephant in the room for so many reasons. But that's concerning because when Kevin Stefanski's Browns have been most successful, they've had a pretty dang good running attack. And if you look at the roster, the first thing you would say, even somebody that wasn't as familiar with this football team would say, what in the Lord's name is happening at running back for this team?
Yeah, and that was one of the things we hit on here in the first hour as well. It's like, hey, is it the most big deal? Are they going to go add somebody? Yes, but you also just don't see most teams get through their initial 53s and be like, all right, two running backs. Even if they're going to add somebody, you still look into this backfield and you're like, okay, well, they drafted Quinshon. They haven't replaced Quinshon. They have Dylan Sampson. They have Jerome Ford, and they did nothing else to address that position throughout camp. They brought in a couple of guys who everybody pretty much knew we're not going to stick. I mean, Travion Williams and Amani Marshall, even as good as Amani looked, not going to be there. I mean, he wasn't going to make the active roster. That was a long shot. So, yeah, I do turn around and look, and he asked the same question as John said. If it was another team, I'd be like, yikes. We're even walking to the initials with two guys. You're still making decisions of either picking a guy up off the scrap heap or finally making a decision on your second round pick. Either way, it's taken far too long, and they have not been on top of this and figuring out the run game. Somebody's going to have to walk in on a very limited time, learn the offense, and probably have to play a role. It doesn't feel like a good route to go. I think I would have felt more comfortable with, a healthy Pierre Strong, or hell, even at this point, probably Amani Marshall. Don't know how I'd look against an NFL first-team defense, but at least he'd been here. Let's keep it moving. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com. On today with Baskin and Phelps talking Kenny Pickett being traded. Reactions, would you have done it?
I was actually surprised. They were planning to keep four, but when someone offered them this fifth-round pick, they felt that was good value, and it gives them back the pick that they had originally given up. So, yeah, they just felt it was good value and basically gives them a chance to turn to the rookies when the time comes. If it gets to that point, then they can just go ahead and they're going to continue to develop those guys, and they'll take a look at them when it makes sense. I wouldn't have done it. They've used 9 different starting quarterbacks or nine starting quarterbacks over the last 2 years, five in 2023, four last year. And I just think that if for some reason Joe doesn't work out or if Joe gets hurt, then you do have another veteran. I don't know if a fifth round pick at this point would have been worth that.
I respect Mary Kay and everything that she does. Like, one of the most longstanding reporters. Hey, there's a reason she got the Bill Nunn Award. She's incredible. I don't think there was a chance the Browns were actually going to take four quarterbacks into the season. I don't think that they were legitimately considering Kenny Pickett as a guy that they wanted to take in. I think they were trying to get something back for Kenny for a long period of time here, and they were just going to wait for the best offer. Fifth round's not that great of return. It's exactly what you gave up, plus a quarterback who ended up getting cut by the Eagles. But it's exactly what you traded away. And if it comes down to your fifth-round pick or the Raiders' fifth-round pick, it's a real toss-up. Like, I don't know which one I'd rather have. Both probably aren't going to be too bad. They're going to be probably pretty high up in that round. So I just can't sit here and act like it's crazy, though, that they moved off of him. They would have had to carry four. Deshaun's going to be on the roster at some point. That would have meant you were carrying five. And, I mean, if we're really sitting here, I can't continue to use the excuse of, well, they played four last year, they played five the year before, which means I'll pick a guy up off the scrap heap. Hey, listen, if we have to go down that route, hey, it's not going to be because the quarterbacks are too bad, because you're not going to figure out and find somebody just available to you who's going to be your answer. It's going to be because of injuries, and then I'll pick up whoever's left. Season shot at that point. I just need somebody under center. All right, let's squeeze at least one more in here. Lance Rising, Cleveland.com. Talking about Dylan Gabriel, how he feels if he had to step into a game right now.
I think he's a quarterback that you can win with right now. I do. I don't think he's a quarterback you can win because of. What I mean by that is that when he struggled, when he was struggling really bad in camp, it was accuracy. But all the stuff that can allow you to win with a quarterback, his ability to set protections, his ability to get in and out of the huddle, to call plays, that's all been really, really solid with him. However, the accuracy was off, and it was off for about 3 to 4 days, maybe even 5 days. Again, I don't think he's a guy you can rely on, but I think he's a guy who can get you into the right run game. I think he's a guy that can make some throws if needed. Obviously, punt the ball on third down, all the things I say all the time, but I do think he's a guy who can start and a guy you can win with right now.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan Gabriel takes care of the football. I think that's the main thing. Like, yes, he had the two turnovers in his first preseason game. I get it. Like, I don't think that those are going to be staples of Dylan Gabriel's career. I don't think that Dylan Gabriel is going to be a top-tier starter. I do tend to agree with Lance. Like, if he had to come in to play a game, I don't think the offense would just stop in its tracks and never move again. It's probably going to be a lot of field position battle. I'm not saying he's going to score a ton of points, but he's a prototypical backup quarterback in his current state. He's a guy that I can stick into the game. He's going to make the easy right throws, and he's probably going to try to extend drives for you and not throw the ball all over the field. It's going to be a slow-moving offense. It's going to be a lot of dink and dunk. But he screams backup quarterback, and I think that's okay. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we'll bring in our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. 53-man rosters, initial cutdowns as well, where the Browns still have to go on overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.